Hello and welcome to episode 65 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tink.
And to get started with the show, we have some serious follow-up this week. Piggybacking off of our last topic, which spurred a lot of good conversation among everyone.
Yep.
First off, which I think is the most important, David McCookie agreed with me about material design on iPhones, and that makes me feel smart and like I know what I'm talking about. So thank you, David. It's always a pleasure. And nobody laughed, and now I feel like just an egomaniac.
I laughed because I've been listening to Helvetic lately, and some of the latest episodes have just been really funny. Like, hard to drive while listening.
Yes, I've been enjoying them greatly. And next up, Alex Johnson posted a response saying, quote, "I think too many people think they need a smartphone. The only time it is really a need is if it is a requirement for a position, mostly work. I got a flip phone about 2 months ago to avoid the temptation of not being present with my wife, and I learned I don't need a smartphone. I may go back to one at some point, but it has helped me put into perspective the wrong desire to have something and then justify it in my heart because ultimately I'm selfish. Not saying I can't fight that desire, but often I feel Christians aren't radical enough with our sin because we don't view sin as the truly massive problem that it is."
I agree with Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
I've toyed with the idea of not having a smartphone for like a year now and never pulled the trigger on it, mostly because podcasts, but
yeah, it's...
Tank, you don't have a smartphone, do you? No, you have Android, right?
I have a smartphone, yeah. There was about a year process or a year amount of time where I didn't have one.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I think I remember that somewhat well.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, Tank, that life has been better since you switched to it? Do you think, Tank, that when that life has been better since switching to a smartphone?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of benefits to it for sure. Like reading, Slack, being able to know the answers to questions immediately again with Google.
Secret Googling.
Yeah, but I also agree that it wasn't necessary. So
I think I'm on that page too. I think some people like are hearing us say that and thinking that we're saying that they're inherently bad and no one should have them, but we're not saying that. And I think it's just because like we live on a binary, or we think we do, where it's like it's either good or bad, right or wrong, yes or no, have it or don't have it. But like it's just not that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. And this actually rolls very nicely into our next piece of follow-up from Jeremy Smith. His thoughts on our latest episode was that he thought we dwelt on the sin a lot without giving the redeeming qualities of texting. Like, for example, he brought up the idea of like really emotional conversations where it's good to kind of have that asynchronous quality so you can, you know, calm down or get control of yourself before responding either way. Like, it doesn't have to be like you're yelling at each other. It can just be like a really, it can be bad news or really great news or like anything that can kind of give you that space so that you don't like I tend to turn into a blubbering fool when I'm told like amazing news or something like in person. And, you know, I can kind of,
okay. I was going to say, you can do that in person too. It just takes a lot more self-control.
Right. Exactly. The point is there are a lot of good qualities to texting too.
Sure.
And there is this balance. And I do think we probably dwelt on the sin a little bit more last week, just because that's kind of what I need to remind myself the most in my area, in my life, in that area. Like, I always tend to be the advocate for technology, or, I mean, you know what I mean. I'm sure you guys feel some of the same kind of way.
But I was thinking about it a lot, hearing his feedback this week, just thinking through, I don't know what I think about that. And yeah, he's probably right. We did spend a lot of time last week on the negative aspects of technology and it making us disconnected and things. I think it is a balance, like you said, Derek. And I think we spent sometimes entire episodes on the positives of things and never talk about the negatives. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at our show over the last 60 whatever episodes, you'll probably find at least a more reasonable balance than just one episode. But I think, you know, like I was just thinking through different times. Like I remember we did a whole episode on self-driving cars where we were just talking, like we just spent time imagining what could be great about them and like just good for us, good for the kingdom, good for various things, ways we could use them. And like we've done that more than once. So I don't know. Over the whole entire podcast, I'm not sure it's a very founded critique, but over the last episode, yeah, sure. I mean, I think I agree with your comment that that's what I need more reminding of than anything. The one thing I took away more than it was a lot, it was very negative, was I spent a lot of time, even right after we finished recording last week, thinking, we did talk about sin a lot. This was before I saw Jeremy's comment. And I didn't feel like we then shared the gospel, and I felt bad about that. Yeah. So I do want to say, anybody who heard the last episode or really any episode, the truth is you might be left thinking I'm not good enough. And that is true. And that is exactly why we need Jesus to stand in our place, both in life and death and then resurrection. So, I mean, that's the good news, is that he lives and dies for us when we can't do it. So all of your sin around your tech disconnectedness, like me, is a problem that you can't solve, but he can and did. So you should trust him.
Yes. Preach it. It's the truth.
Good stuff.
Well, I suppose let's move on. This is Tech You Should Know, the part of the show where we bring you a few tech news stories from the past week that we would like to talk about. Amazon is continuing its trend to get into shopping in meat space, only this time it's actually a space for meat and veggies and whatever other food delights you would like to buy, because yes, Amazon is creating a grocery store concept called Amazon Go. However, there are no cashiers and there is no checking out. When you enter the store, you scan a QR code or something on your phone, and the store uses cameras, machine learning, as well as all the other popular buzzwords to keep track of what you take off or put back on the shelf. Then when you leave, Amazon bills you for exactly what you took out of the store, no more, no less.
I hear there's also going to be a shelf, a whole like section of an aisle just dedicated to Pokeballs. yeah, cross-promotion with Pokemon Go.
I get it. That's funny.
That's not true. Everything's just called Go, that's all.
Yeah, that's right. It's the popular word nowadays.
So, it's only one store initially, right, Derek?
Well, there's no store that actually exists for customers to go in and out yet, right now.
Right, yeah. It's still in the research. Early next year?
Oh, I don't even know if they have an opening date. For it.
I thought the Seattle store was pretty much open.
Yeah, that's what I thought I saw, was Seattle was opening early next year, but that was kind of all I had heard. I didn't know if they had plans to do more stores than that, or maybe it's a test run or what.
Let me look it up real quick.
The store is currently open in beta to Amazon employees only. A public opening is scheduled for early 2017.
I did not know that part.
There you go.
Cool. Cool.
That's pretty exciting.
It is pretty exciting.
Maybe we'll talk more about that sometime.
Yeah, that sounds good. A pizza store was just accosted by someone who bought into fake news on the internet. Sigh. Authorities say 28-year-old Edgar Madison Welch entered Comet Ping Pong Pizzeria carrying a gun on Sunday and pointed it at an employee who was able to escape. Welch proceeded to discharge the rifle inside of the establishment. After his arrest, Welch reportedly told police he was there to self-investigate the supposed Pizzagate conspiracy, which started on Reddit and has been summarily banned from the site. Last month, Comet Ping Pong, its staff and neighbors began experiencing repeated harassment over the debunked conspiracy theory, which one online quote-unquote investigator described as a satanic child sex trafficking and pedophilia ring involving many of the most influential, powerful, and wealthy people in the world. I could get into how the logic ran, but frankly, it doesn't matter because it's weird and ridiculous, and yet someone took a gun into an innocent pizza shop because they read fake news on the internet.
Yeah, this is a real thing that people might not have heard about, and it's pretty terrifying.
It is.
In terms of the implications of fake news and also the willingness to believe conspiracy theories, which are totally unfounded.
Mm-hmm.
And also the ease of access to guns.
Okay, Craig, you're always trying to take it there.
It just keeps coming up.
This is an American podcast. Gosh dang it.
Well, I also heard in another podcast this week that went into a lot more detail on this whole Pizzagate deal. So if you haven't heard that and you want to learn more, Reply All did an episode 83 on it, which I thought was really good. A little bit of language, and they also are super liberal. So just heads up on that. If that bothers you, don't listen. But in general, it's a well-produced podcast, and they do give a lot of good information on this particular story this week.
And that will be in the show notes. The FCC is currently taking issue with AT&T and Verizon over their zero rating policies, saying they are anti-competitive and ultimately bad for consumers. Both companies say that their customers love the plans since they basically get more data than they're paying for each month, but the FCC is looking at the larger picture, asserting that zero rating is advantaging the company's own video services and squashing competition for those who want to enter the arena. This is part of the larger discussion around net neutrality, though zero rating wasn't thought to be anti-competitive at the time that the guidelines were announced.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
Different companies start paying different cell phone operators data providers to make their service free. Therefore, their people go to those services.
Mm-hmm.
And the new startup guy who's not able to pay AT&T has no hope. So yeah, I think that's kind of the core around net neutrality.
Pretty much.
So yeah, I'd never thought about it, but I can definitely see the danger in it from that article.
The Pebble is dead. Long live Fitbit. It's been confirmed that Pebble has been acqui-hired by Fitbit.
Acqui-hired?
Acqui-hired.
It's a term they use when a company buys a company basically for the talent and then shuts everything else down.
Huh. Never heard that before.
No, I haven't either.
Okay. Well, now you know.
Now you know.
Sprinkle.
Tech words you should know.
But anyway, this has started the long road to obsolescence for all Pebbles currently out on the market. Any backers of the Pebble 2 that haven't received theirs yet will be refunded, and all Pebbles that are already out in the world will continue to work for now, but they say functionality or service quality may be reduced in the future. There aren't plans for regular software updates or new features for the existing watches, so pretty much what you have right now is what you can expect for the future. Warranties are also dead, as well as any continuing support for accessories like chargers and bands.
Well, that's good, because we're so disconnected it's sinful, so the less smartwatches the better, in my opinion.
There's got to be a word for that, because that is your favorite thing to do.
Oh man,
but whose favorite thing to do? What,
yours?
Sarcasm?
Oh, is that the word? All right.
I don't know.
He's bringing it back around, isn't he, to the follow-up.
Well, I mean, Lion King is my favorite movie, so circle of life, circle of podcast topics.
Okay, well, this is going down. Yeah, real
that one was a stretch.
If you have any stories that you think we should have mentioned, please feel free to email us at ask@techreformation.com and let us know.
Now it's time for Tech You Should Use, where we discuss technology that's been helpful for us in hopes that it will be helpful for you. So this week, we will talk about MailChimp.
MailChimp?
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of, Derek.
Nice. MailChimp is an email marketing service. So what that means is you get people to subscribe to your list, and then you type up an email and send it out to all of your subscribers. So I'm sure you get plenty of these already in the mail from all the different companies that require you to give you their email address, and then they follow up by sending tons of information that's immediately deleted. So MailChimp is one of those services, and what is great about it is that it's very free. It has an awesome free tier that is very accessible, and for the average person, if you're just doing it on your own, then you can pretty much use it without any issues on the free tier. So I use it for doing stuff in Japan for all my prayer partners. People sign up for the list, and then Michelle and I can write up an email and send it out, and they all get it. But of course, it's not just like a text email that I could just have an email list and send out. But they make it really fancy. They give you templates that you can embed pictures and just make it really pretty, like many of the different emails you get. It also does things like how many people opened the email, how many people clicked on the link in your email, and gives you a variety of stats like that. You can set a time for it to be sent out. So we have our international subscribers where we send it out right away because it's like 2 p.m. And then we have our subscribers back in the States who we send it to in the morning for them when it would be like 4 a.m. for us and we wouldn't want to wake up and hit send. So there's a variety of different features that just make sending out mass emails for whatever purpose, whether a blog or you're doing a mission trip or a church or any of that, where you want to give a bunch of subscribers regular information, does that really well and makes it easy for people. So what do you guys think? Have you all used it before?
Yeah, I use it very frequently at work, and I think it's pretty good. Yeah, I think the free tier that you're talking about, it lets you have, I think, 2,000 subscribers or something like that before you have to pay for an actual monthly account or whatever. So that's pretty decent. Like you said, for a lot of people, if you're doing it, particularly if you're not doing it for a business thing, if you're doing it sort of for a personal thing or whatever, 2,000 is plenty. It also, the template system is pretty good. Like you said, you can sort of design it up, and it's got a drag and drop system with a bunch of different content areas that you can sort of just drag wherever you want them. And then it's quite easy to sort of upload images and files and stuff to attach to things. Occasionally it's clunky, but like that templating system, but generally it works really well. And once you've made a template, you can save it or share it with someone via email, someone else who has a MailChimp account, so they can brand their email the same way as what you've done. So, yeah, I think it's really good. And the statistics thing's helpful as well to just keep track of, particularly if you're sending something really important, just to know how many people actually interacted with whatever it was that you were trying to get across. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it really useful.
You can send up to 10,000 email. Nope, that's a lie. You can send up to 5. No, wait, that's a lie too. Hold on. You can send up to 6,000 emails per month to 2,000 people per month.
You can send up to 20 emails per month.
No. It really is 6. No, wait. That's not 6. Hold on. How do you do this math?
Yeah.
It's 6 emails.
The programmer is asking
6,000. This is
to
horrible.
2 subscribers.
Up to 6 per month. Emails.
You're limited to 4.5.
Wait, guys, we're losing it. It's off the rails. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Okay, well, 6. You can send up to 6 emails to up to 2,000 people per month for free forever. That's all I wanted to say. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I want to know how many emails it would be per day if you were sending 6,000 emails to 2 subscribers. We can do that real quick.
For how long? For like a month?
200. Yeah.
6,000. Times 2 times 31, that would be 372,000 emails a month.
A day.
No, I'm talking about a day. So it'd be 387 emails a day, yeah. I think.
Oh, so 6,000 for the month. Okay, sorry, I misunderstood.
Anyway, sorry, Ben, continue.
The only thing I knew about MailChimp before this segment was that it existed, that it was an email marketing platform, that I've received emails that are MailChimp emails before, and that it was advertising for cereal and the MailChimp thing that Derek was saying earlier.
MailChimp.
That's it. I have now looked at their website, and I think they have the dopest icon ever. It's just a monkey's head with a butler hat on it.
It is a dope
it
icon.
The greatest. And he's winking. It's just tight. Now know their free pricing plan, thanks to my horrible math skills.
Welcome to Math Reformation.
Yeah. Math Reformation.
And I know that they are guilty of some of the most dastardly marketing tactics ever, because the front page of their website says, being yourself makes all the difference, which has nothing to do with emails. Why do people do this? I don't understand. Authenticity should not sell your product if it has nothing to do with authenticity. Oh my gosh.
You can send authentic emails.
Being yourself makes all the difference. MailChimp. Use our service to send emails.
Do you think that person on the front looks like Robin from How I Met Your Mother?
Yes, that's actually who I thought it was at first.
I thought it was too, and I'm like, I don't think that is. But
no, it's not. It's definitely not. But I thought it was at first.
Oh, it totally does.
I was like, Kobe Smulders, what are you doing here?
You can also do some cool things with lists. I forgot to mention, like, you can say, I don't know about if you do this, Tank, with what you send out, but you can segment lists. So if you have a list of subscribers in a spreadsheet or something, and you have like name, email, age, I don't know, country or whatever, you can upload all of those fields to, like, you know, import all of those fields, and then you can create segments. So I only want to send to people aged 18 to 24 in this email. And sort of, yeah, sort of customize what you're sending rather than just having a big long email list that has no control over. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty customizable, and there are heaps of, cool features and stuff. So if you're needing to use something like that, definitely check it out as an option, I'd say.
And they tend to be really well integrated with, you know, like places like Squarespace have some fantastic integrations as far as MailChimp goes.
For the sign-up forms and whatever.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's stuff for WordPress too. Like, they are kind of the top dog in the field for a pretty good reason. So,
and if you would like to see Tank's MailChimp newsletter while he's in Japan with his wife, you can go to thetankersleyodyssey.com and sign up on the homepage. There's a link in the show notes. And if you happen to live in a sensitive area, you can hide Christianese words, which is pretty interesting. Tank, how did you do that?
We send out two mails. So we send out our normal one, and then we go back, edit the whole thing to remove all those words, and then send another one to our secure list.
And why would you do such a thing, Tank? Aren't you not ashamed of the gospel?
I am not ashamed of the gospel, but the government is not ashamed of kicking us out for the gospel. And so I don't want my friends to be getting kicked out for reading my newsletters.
Good. Very good. I don't want that either.
That sounds like something that Derek would have some kind of workflow solution for. Removing words that...
This is not that tech you should use, Craig. Stop it.
Hey! I'm just trying to help a brother out.
Well, thanks for the recommendation, Ben.
TheTankersleyOdyssey.com. Check
appreciate
it out.
All right. That's all for tech you should use this week.
Our sponsor this week is Olive Tree, the Bible study app. Olive Tree's rolled out a new feature this past week. They now have a wish list feature, and you're thinking, well, that seems pretty simple. They haven't had a wish list feature up until now. And no, they haven't, but now they can, which is awesome, because now I can put down all of the books and commentaries, whatever I want, down in here to keep track of. And the best thing is I can share this with people so they can see my wish list and gift stuff to me. Yes, you can gift stuff on Olive Tree too. There is an option to be able to do that. So with Christmas right around the corner, it's not too late to create your wish list of your dream Bible commentaries and books and map resources and all of that, so that you can give that list to your friends and family so they know what to give you this Christmas. Check it out at olivetree.com. And, you know, while you're giving your wish list out, might as well, you know, give them our offer code too. So, you know, if they actually end up buying you something, they can get 20% off with our code TECH at checkout. Thank you to Olive Tree for sponsoring this week's episode of Tech Reformation.
All right, so this is Theology from the Headlines, and we're going to talk about a particular topic that's come up this week that we thought it'd be worth going a little bit more in depth on. And just from the outset, wanted to say a quick thank you to Dave Couch, or Cooch, I'm not sure how he pronounces it, but in Australia that word would be couch. And he said he thinks we should talk about this topic, and he was a little bit concerned about, I guess, the automation aspect to it and what it's going to do to jobs. And so I am referring to Amazon Go, the store that we talked about earlier, and Ben already wants to say something. Yep.
Can I just say that Dave Couch is my favorite British listener of the show? Thank you, Dave, for your support.
Dave is great.
He has been with us for a long time. It's been great.
He has.
I know that the temptation to give up is probably very ripe for you, but listen, man, stay golden, persevere. One day we will convince David McCookie that pedo-baptism is not biblical. Press on, brother. Press on.
Actually, David McCookie's still got some splaining to do, according to the Facebook conversation that he and I were having. But anyway, I do appreciate Dave Couch's interaction in the Slack. And yeah, it's good. Been a long-time listener, so thanks for that, Dave. So Amazon Go, there was an article on The Verge that we referenced in Tech You Should Know, and there was another one I came across as well on a different platform on pocketlint.com, which is a strange URL. But anyway, so basically the idea behind Amazon Go is that it's a convenience / grocery store where you, on the way in, you scan a QR code on your phone on a little scanner thing. And then you just walk through the store, you put your phone away, you don't have to be looking at it the whole time. You can just walk down any aisle, pick something up off the shelf, and automatically adds it to your account. So you have an Amazon Go app, which has the QR code in it, and then it basically also has a shopping list in it, but you don't necessarily pay attention to that as you're walking through. Instead, you just pick things up and put them in your carry bag or trolley or whatever you're using. Do all your shopping, and then as you walk out of the store, it charges your Amazon account for whatever you picked up along the way, and you can view a receipt in the app as well. So the marketing tagline was something like no lines, something or other. No, what was it?
No checkout.
No lines, no checkout. No, seriously.
Yep. Yes, that one.
I guess all about the perceived convenience of just being able to, do it yourself, not have to wait for anyone else, and not get stuck behind people because you are simply just able to walk in and start picking things up and then walk out again. So, yeah, I guess I wanted to chat through a few things. Dave's, like I said, Dave's sort of concern was around people losing jobs because this automates the whole shopping experience, I guess. And I can see where he's coming from with that. Like, we've talked about automation before. And I was thinking, like, a lot of the people in my town, their first part-time job was being a checkout chick or stacking shelves at a local supermarket. And I think it is a good, just sort of low-key entry into the workforce in terms of part-time work and whatever. People who want to talk about minimum wage and all that sort of thing, I think that's kind of another conversation to be had. But, I guess I can see that being an issue. But then someone else brought up the point that, we no longer lament the fact that we don't have people that go around and light the street lamps manually and all that kind of thing. So I think there'll be other, there'll be other solutions to that problem. I don't think it's going to create a problem that's unsolvable in terms of jobs. What do you guys think about that before we move on?
We did talk about workplace automation in a lot more detail for a whole episode way back on episode 2, which I'll link in the show notes. So check that out for more detail. But I think maybe if I could really briefly summarize our thoughts, automation does replace jobs, but I don't think it's at the expense of those jobs. I think it replaces them with better jobs. That was something we talked about a lot. Yeah. It was, even if, for example, in 50 years, there are automated trucks that drive themselves, those truckers may be out of a job, but we will need people to manage the automated truck fleet now, which is probably a better, more high-paying job. So there's some good and some bad. There's a trade-off there. Right. And Dave's question is, should we be championing this or wary of job loss? I think automation probably has been something that has been happening in some form or another for a very, very long time. And we haven't seen unemployment spike in a way we would not expect because of it.
Yeah, I guess the only issue around that, like what you said about, you know, canceling out certain jobs could lead to possibly better paying and higher level jobs. I guess some people don't aspire to those jobs. Some people, truck driving is their thing and they like doing something of that sort of nature.
Yeah.
And so I guess, yeah, for those people that it might be not their preference. You know what I mean? Some people don't want to go to university, don't want to get any qualifications, just want to sort of get stuck into doing something that they already know how to do, basically. And so, yeah, I guess there's a downside there, but it's not likely to be world shattering.
I definitely don't deny the trade-off. And let me also say, we may have truckers listening to the show. I'm really grateful for you. Like our economy is based on partly in you or based partly on you. And
largely.
And so I think, I'm not trying to say that that's a bad job by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
I was just talking about, it's probably a trade-off more than like a hard stop, no more jobs kind of thing.
Yes.
That's all. The only thing I was really trying to say.
Yeah, it's true. Cool. So that was kind of some listener feedback from before we even asked for listener feedback, which was great. I got to admit, when I was sort of thinking about this and just trying to work out what do I think about it, there were a few things that came to mind. Obviously, with this technology and the speed and the idea of no lines, no waiting, just go in, go out, do things in your own at your own speed, sort of thing. There's kind of a two-edged sword there where it's sort of feeding this perceived need that we have in our, I guess, tech-based culture for instant gratification where, you know, we expect that technology will just make things super quick and efficient and we shouldn't ever have to wait because we're busy and important people. And so we should just be able to get what we want when we want it anytime. Without anyone else having to be a part of that process, basically. And so that's kind of, I don't know, that's like sort of putting it with a negative spin. But at the same time, I actually think that's great. Like if it makes things more efficient, we can be spending our time on more meaningful things or, more worthwhile things for the kingdom or whatever. So or just spending more time with our families and things like that. So I don't know that that's like a huge problem, but I think there's kind of a two-sided aspect to that. What do you guys think about that?
I think that mindset of self-gratification, getting things our way instantly, I don't think that's a problem that technology created. I think that's just a result of the fall that even people way back in the day wanted things their way and wanted it instantly. I think that's just a product of sin. I think I'm really excited about this. I think it's awesome. And it makes me think of a story of I was talking to a newer Japanese Christian
here. I'm sorry, I thought you just said a nude.
He definitely did. I was like, a nude Japanese Christian?
Really? I was talking to a nude Japanese Christian. Yeah, they have interesting worship styles.
Are you
here
in a nudist colony there, Tank?
No wonder he called it the Tankersley Odyssey.
That's, you did not tell us this part,
that
Tank.
Does sound pretty out.
Yes, no, sorry, not nude. A new,
not N-E-W, nude per se.
Atarashi, if we want to say Japanese.
Ooh, I like that. Now we're trilingual. We got a English, Japanese, and Australian.
You mean American, Japanese, and English?
Okay, good point. Good point.
Nice.
Which one's the one with the monarchy?
Anyway, you were saying Tank.
Sorry, Tank. You were saying like three times. Please continue.
All right,
maybe so, just don't mention nude this time. Just go clean.
Okay. So, I was talking to a new, fully clothed Japanese Christian. he was talking, we were just talking about like being a new believer and following God and what that looks like in the business place and just kind of like what his thoughts were on that. And he said, one thing that I'm really passionate about and want to I don't know, he phrased it like offer to God in this. He said it with the best theology. So, no, God doesn't need anything, but whatever. Anyway, he said, like, I want to do technology in a way that honors God and helps people. And he said, I'm super passionate about automation. And this was, of course, before this article, but he was talking about how...
This is so interesting.
He was talking about how he grew up in a family that was distant. They were working all the time, which is a very big problem in Japanese culture. People work all the time. And he didn't really have a great family life. His parents didn't spend time with him much. And so he's very passionate about automation because he believes that as more automation comes out and the faster we can get these simple things done, for instance, grocery shopping, that'll even bring more time to spend with your family. And so it was really cool how passionate he was about it, and how it was out of love. Like a lot of us can think like, oh, technology is just to make life more convenient or to make more money because we're doing things better. But like he was super passionate about it just for the sake of, I really want to see families be able to spend more time together. And as these things get automated and jobs that don't necessarily need to be done by a person and waits that could have been avoided, like another example he said was in subways, people are lined up asking for information about simple things. It's like if we could have found some way to automate that, that line could disappear. And so, yeah, this store, as soon as I saw the article, I sent it to him. I was like, you'll love this. He's like, yeah, that's awesome. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because in his mind, and I think there's definitely some truth to it, that if we don't have to grocery shop, we can come home. And that doesn't solve all the problems because you can come home and go straight to your office and spend more time working. But
Or go straight to the couch and watch Netflix for 3 hours.
Indeed.
But I mean, yeah, that was kind of a joke. But Tank, I'm with you. My initial reaction when I saw this, before we even knew we were going to talk about it, is dang, that's really cool and exciting. Mm-hmm. And like that, yeah. That is like just wow. Like, look at what we can do with technology. That's pretty amazing. And I think having had a few more days to think about it, I can see both positives and negatives. And now my attitude is kind of like Tim Challey said when he was on the show, like let's think about it and wait and see what happens and really evaluate what are going to be the positives and negatives of this deal and how should we thoughtfully engage it from a Christian perspective. And I think that's kind of where I'm settling in. That doesn't paralyze me though. Like it doesn't make me think, okay, I can't use this until I figure out what I'm going to do with it. It's just like, I don't want to passively interact with it. I want to actively engage it in whatever way that is. So, but I think the examples you gave are fantastic ways for us to love our neighbor through technology. And I think that's exactly one of the things we should be about, just as we should be making disciples, making culture, like everything we talk about on the show.
Yeah. See, this is a really tough one for me because I am totally in agreement that there are awful jobs out there that people should, or menial jobs out there that a lot of people who do that job just do not enjoy. And it would be beneficial to, you know, get rid of those jobs and replace them with robots. But at the same time, there are a lot of jobless people out there that would love to have these jobs. I don't know. It's a really, really tough balance for me to try to fight through because, like, trucking is a really grueling job, and it does keep you away from your family, you know, a large percentage of the time. Like, I'm thinking a lot about, like, automated trucks and that sort of thing. And I know there are people who love truck driving. I've met people who just love truck driving. And I've met people who are truck drivers because it pays the bills and they don't like that it keeps them away from family. But I've also met people that it's somehow like for them, it's a great balance for their family and they're, you know, it's perfectly fine for them. It's, yeah, I have no idea where to go on this. Those are just
in terms of jobs. What jobs are we thinking will be replaced by this? Like cashiers? What else are we thinking would be? Like, you're still going to have to stock the grocery store, right?
That's true.
That could be robots too, right?
Are they? I don't know. I mean, they didn't say that was part of this.
Amazon does have that whole technology with warehouse drones that go and fetch. Like I'm sure that could be practically applied to stocking these stores in the future. Like, I could certainly see an entire grocery store just manned by robots. And
yeah, but we could talk about everything for weeks before we run out of things to say. But just like, let's box it to the concept of Amazon Go. Mm-hmm. It sounds like number one, cashiers for sure. No checkout lines. That's automatic.
Right.
Maybe we think restocking. We're not sure. Maybe we think like security type of jobs, because that's all monitored by the cameras as well, I imagine.
Yeah.
What else are we talking about?
If someone was to shoplift, it's probably more helpful to have a person there to stop them than a
yeah, robot. I suppose it depends if the mechanism to stop the shoplifter is shooting out spears like some sort of trap. Then that seems more effective than a person to me, but I don't know. I mean,
highly advanced harpoon security technology.
Harpoon targeting fusion.
I think
you Americans so violent.
Oh, sorry.
I'm kidding.
One thing I think is fairly clear just from progression is that self-driving cars are going to come out, and eventually they're going to replace truck drivers, would be my assumption.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that, but
I would assume
these stores are obviously going to come out and they're going to replace cashiers.
Right. That's fair.
Probably maybe waiters are going. So it's almost, I think it's a good maybe mindset discussion to say, like, man, is this good? Is this bad? And definitely like to think about it. I think there's also a realization that unless we want to get heavily involved in lobbying and protesting and petitions and stuff, that it's very likely going to happen. So I think one useful conversation might be like, in the face of that happening, what do we do about it? Like, or at least what do we think people should do? Like, how do we help those people who may be losing their jobs as cashiers?
I think I would maybe disagree a little bit, because like in one sense, and I was with you like 100% for most of that, but then I realized it doesn't have to happen everywhere. Like if Christian business owners of grocery store chains want to keep cashiers employed and not use computers, they could make that decision. The government's not going to require them to do that, I wouldn't think. I mean, I suppose that's definitely a possible future, but it doesn't seem like a democratic society would do that. So at least in the near future.
Yeah.
So I mean, like at a business owner level, if we did want to have the conversation of is this good or not, we could then say maybe it's our responsibility to not use this technology in our business. We're not Christian business owners though, so I mean, maybe that's an irrelevant conversation for us. I don't know how many folks listening to our show are Christian business owners that could make those kind of decisions. I actually think the reason I bring it up, I think about this a lot. I live in Memphis. There's at least a recognizable number of homeless folks in the city where I live, who I see often enough to know that they're there. I'm not trying to say there's more here than anywhere else or something. I'm just saying they're here and I know it. And I think a lot about what do I do about this, because they're obviously standing out on the street corner asking for money, and I could very easily throw them $5 or $20 or whatever it is, you know, and ease their temporary issue. But often the conclusion I come to is what would really help this person is if I gave them a job that is a sustainable source of income, so that they might not just be dependent on me giving them a $20 bill and then hoping that someone else will. And that doesn't mean don't give them a $20 bill. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the more lasting solution is obviously them having a job. I think the scripture bears that out when Paul says things like, if a man doesn't eat, it doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. I don't think that necessarily applies to the American homeless population. I'm not saying that. But I am saying I think the scripture is for jobs and work and us providing for our needs through work and that kind of thing. God providing really through for our needs through our work. But I don't know. I think it's related. Our attitude towards the job loss, maybe we can't decide that we're going to use Amazon Go or not, but we for our business, but we can decide how do we respond in that situation. Do you see that link at all, or is that only in my mind?
No, I think that's definitely a fair point. Yeah, I guess I was thinking too individualistic in that, like, I can't do much about it. So I think I definitely see more purpose now that you say that. Of having that discussion. But I do also think it's worth the discussion that while maybe Christian business owners may decide not to do it, it's also worth the realization that most business owners will probably tend towards it. So is there anything that we can have a mindset and action to do about supporting those or whatever that means? I don't know.
Yeah. I agree. I think you're right. Like Walmart, for example, it's probably going to be a lot cheaper in a few years for them to do something like this. And so from their perspective, if you're just looking at a bottom line, and I don't know the folks who run Walmart, so forgive me for that one. But if you're only looking at the bottom line and it costs them way less money, then yeah, they'll probably do it like you're saying. I think you're right about that. And so let's have that conversation. What do we do in a world where every grocery store is Amazon Go? Is there anything we would do differently?
That's a good question, because I mean we already have this kind of situation already with basically the rise of Walmart and big chain stores, being that most of the manufacturing jobs have now gone to China, like for making all the products that, like, we get our products so cheap because those are all outsourced to China at this point. China. But so we already have this kind of loss of jobs in like any technological advance, there's probably going to be a loss of jobs and perhaps an addition of slightly fewer but more advanced jobs. So there's fewer jobs in manufacturing, but maybe more jobs in retail now. It's hard to say, like, once we get to a certain level of automation where we start having robots take care of jobs, I don't know if we get different jobs now. I've heard people talk about this on several podcasts over the past week. I know we're sticking on automation kind of a lot, but I've heard people talk about, you know, we may get to this future where you don't, like, for your base level of living, you don't have to work, but anything that you would like beyond, like, the base level of living, you can go get a job and do whatever, because we will have so many robots doing so much of this. Things will be so cheap that that we won't have to work, which seems, I can't see that happening. And certainly if that did happen, that seems to be way farther off than like the next 20 years. But that's certainly an interesting thing.
It ignores the fact that we were created to work.
Exactly. Like, humans are not meant to not work.
We might be equivocating a little bit on the word work here. I think we're now into the realm of theology of work. And I would just say quickly that work and occupation are not, we consider them synonymous, but theologically we should not consider them synonymous.
Yes.
Because you're doing as much, you're working when you take the trash out. You're working when you build something beautiful for your living room. Like, that's work. That's like work as God intended it. You're doing work. Your occupation.
You're working when you're raising a child.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Me as a software developer is also work, but that's my occupation. And I think we tend to hear work and think occupation. It's not always the case biblically. So let's be careful there.
Yeah. No, very good point. Very good point.
So there's not a world without work because of Craig's point. We're designed to work. That's going to be part of the fabric of God's design forever.
Gotcha. But yes.
Go ahead.
That makes
maybe
sense.
Maybe a world without occupations is what you meant.
A world without occupations. Mm-hmm. So we're free to basically do what we want to do, which is, you know, still, you know, doing the work. Like, this podcast is work, but this is fun work for me. Like, this is my hobby. This is enjoyable for me. If I could podcast full time, I probably would, but I have my occupation that I also enjoy.
You have to feed a small, beautiful baby girl. You can't just do that.
Right, exactly.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, unless people want to stop paying us for this.
This episode was really just to guilt everyone listening into paying for our children. Thank you.
Go donate at techreformation.com. But yeah, it was just an interesting concept that I heard brought up a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. I don't know. I'm still a little skeptical, even with a good definition of work, but I don't I don't know. I'd have to think a lot more about it.
All right. Should we lay the automation topic to rest for another episode? And I mean, I'm sure it'll come up again because it is so integrated into the conversation of what do we do with new tech that seems to be changing the landscape of what's come before it, in terms of the way that we live our lives and the way that tech does change that. But there's a couple other thoughts that I had that I wanted to, I guess, run by you guys before we finish out the discussion. If there's a video that goes along with this story. If you haven't watched it and you're listening to this episode, I'd encourage you to watch it, unless you're driving in a car or something, in which case do all the necessary safety things like pulling over and whatever. or wait till you get where you're going and then watch it. But basically, there was a couple of interesting things I thought in that. At this stage, I'm thinking less on, personally, this is my personal standpoint, I'm thinking less on the lamenting job loss side and more on the yay for super efficiency. And my wife at the moment is having, you know, she said the other day, I was at work and she was trying to do the grocery shopping for our week, our week's groceries, by herself with my son. And, you know, he's like 6 months old and everything's got colorful labels on it, and he's trying to grab things and pull them off the shelves, and they're made of glass, and she puts things in the trolley and he tries to pull them out again, and it's just difficult. So if that could be sped up or made easier in some way, I think there's really great benefits to streamlining the process of shopping, which is a fairly menial task that can be quite time consuming. But something else I thought was interesting was the way that they're advertising this. And I think this probably goes across a lot of tech spaces, like a lot of different types of technology. I was trying to think of another good example, say, from Apple or Google or one of the big name companies. Maybe someone else can think of something. But in the video, they're kind of explaining how good the technology is and how it's going to be really useful and quite a smooth shopping experience. But the way they do that is by using words that the people watching the video, the vast majority of them, aren't going to understand. And I'm not saying that when people advertise, they have to only use words that the whole populace knows already, like that they can't introduce technological words that people need to learn about. But essentially, they say this whole thing works from computer vision, deep learning algorithms, and sensor fusion, just like you'd find in self-driving cars, or similar to what you'd find in self-driving cars. And I kind of went, okay, I know what computer vision is probably referring to. Deep learning algorithms, I have an idea of what that's referring to, but I'm not exactly sure how they're applying it in this situation. And sensor fusion, I'm not really sure where that's going. So there was kind of one and a half that I thought, yeah, I can kind of understand how those are applied in this scenario. But I did just kind of wonder, like, we're selling it on the basis of very sort of hazy terms, and then we're saying it's just like these other things, which aren't perfected yet. And there are some known issues, or at least some ethical issues, that we haven't crossed that bridge in terms of working out, you know, fully what the ethical ramifications are. And obviously, as again with the Tim Challies episode, we sort of need to sit back and wait in that area a little bit. But I guess I wanted to get your thoughts on that side of things, guys. In terms of, is there an ethical issue here with the way that we advertise technology? We kind of sort of speak over people's heads and just assume that they'll go along with it even without knowing what we're talking about.
I'll leave it to the other guys to comment in more detail. But I kind of just wrote that part of the video off as marketing. like this is just, they're just saying mm-hmm. that so that we'll think this is cool or they're smart and that we'll use it. Like, those are just marketing words. I mean, they have some meaning probably somewhere, and maybe some of them have more meaning than others. I still don't know what sensor fusion is, but yeah. Anyway, and then like the whole thing about, this is just like the technology in self-driving cars. That to me is like, there's not any rumors that Amazon's working on a self-driving car, but all the other big tech companies are supposedly or definitely are. And so it's like, this is Amazon saying, hey, we're cool too. Like, pay attention to us. And I like Amazon. Like, I use Amazon. I'm just saying that's kind of how I wrote that off. So I don't know.
And I would totally agree. I think they are just marketing speak. And I guess that's part of the question is, should we be sort of seeing through that and going, hang on, you didn't really say anything there. You're just kind of using words to try and get people's money or get people to use your service that don't really mean anything. That's what I'm saying. Is it like an ethical thing in terms of, sure, we can just say, oh, that's marketing, but is there a problem there that, or is there something that should really be changing? Or is that just the way things are and we just kind of have to write it off?
I don't have strong thoughts one way or the other on this.
Tank is thinking deeply.
I'm trying to have strong thoughts about it.
Don't manufacture them if they're not there.
Well, you guys are thinking. I did one thing you said, Craig, about, I don't know, I'm still hung up on this, like, do I use it, do I encourage it kind of question. And I'm now thinking about Romans 1:32, which is actually a negative. It says, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So I'm going to take a paradigm out of that in a second. I'm told that the Greek says give hearty approval. So like the idea is celebrate. So there's this paradigm of doing things and celebrating the things being done. And one is sort of less than the other, if you will. Like it's one thing to do it. And it's another thing to heartily give approval and celebrate it. Right. And then applying that to this, it's like sort of Tank's paradigm of it's going to happen, or Tank's thought of it's going to happen anyway. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to have to interact with it at some level, but do I have to celebrate it and encourage it and so on and so forth? And I'm just thinking back through, like, my initial reaction when I saw the marketing video was, wow, that's so cool. Like, I'm excited to do this thing. But it was really shallow, like, looking back at it. Like, that's not a reason to do this, and it's certainly not a reason to give hearty approval to it. Right. And so I think the example that Tank gave earlier of his Japanese friend is awesome and is a good reason to do it and celebrate it. So I don't know, just thinking through that paradigm. I don't know if that's helpful, but that's what I was thinking about when you said that, Craig.
Yeah, no, I think that's a valid point, Ben, for sure. I think there's a whole bunch of other things that we could talk about with this in terms of things that we don't know yet as well. Like, I think this is one to, it's great if you want to be excited about it for, like, for example, the reason that Tank gave. I think there's certainly things that we can find useful or look forward to in this kind of technology. There are a few things around what the computer vision stuff means in terms of cameras everywhere. Possibly, we're assuming there's another, the PocketLint article, which we'll also link to, talks about the fact that they need to be able to connect a specific product with a particular shopper to know that that's gone into your cart. So they're thinking that it might be some kind of facial recognition thing that sort of recognizes who the user is and then, you know, takes details like their height and weight and possibly what they're wearing or whatever. But it's all pretty vague as to how that would work, so that's just something to keep an eye on. But this is one that I definitely didn't want to go down the same road as last week where someone said that we sort of focused all on the negative. I think this is something that does have potential to streamline the way we do things, to make things easier and quicker, to give us more time to spend with our families and things like that. So I think certainly one to keep an eye on. Have a think through some of those things that we've talked about in terms of theology of work and what this means for jobs and what that looks like in light of what we as Christians believe about those things. Maybe something that we can continue in the Slack during the week, just chatting through, and we'd love to hear other people's thoughts as well on this particular topic. Something I will say as we finish, and Derek, you need to cut this out, but Jesus is the ultimate shopper because he stepped into our world, and he's the ultimate Amazon Go user. He stepped into our world. He was verified as the Son of God. He then had a chosen people for himself that he took with him, or that he secures for God. And then as he leaves the store, he purchased all that stuff. So we are bought with a price. And at the moment, once you leave the store, you get a new car and you go home. Everyone who's been bought by God is now on a journey with God, and we're on our way. We haven't arrived yet fully at the destination, but one day we can look forward to living in Jesus' home with Him. You have to cut that out, Derek.
Do not cut it out. I was actually going to ask you guys to rapid fire, how would you use Amazon Go to get to the gospel? I didn't even ask, and that was amazing. Do you guys have any recos this week?
Yeah, I have a reco. In talking about email marketing and MailChimp, I want to recommend the unsubscribe button that's at the bottom of every email marketing thing sent. You may think, oh man, pushing that button, it's going to take me 10 seconds, and I don't want to give that 10 seconds of my life up right now. So I just erase the email. Well, every time you erase that email, you're using a few thought processes to think, oh, I should delete this email. And also, should I unsubscribe this time? So, in the long run, automate this part of your life by just making sure you never get those emails. That's my reco. And also, Black Friday is a great day for that because everyone sends their email marketing on Black Friday.
So. Yep. You figure out exactly how many lists you're on.
So, that's my reco.
Including Olive Tree, our sponsor.
But yeah, don't hit unsubscribe from Olive Tree.
Just kidding. One time in college, I went through all of my emails and did that and unsubscribed to a bunch of things. And still to this day, I get so many fewer emails, and it's amazing. I'm so glad I took the time to do all that. What a great reco tank.
I'm going to recommend Golden Gay Time ice cream. Do you guys have that in America?
Never heard of it.
We have an ice cream on a stick called a Golden Gay Time, but it's essentially caramel and vanilla ice cream in layers with chocolate around the outside with little bits of biscuit attached to the chocolate. Kind of like they look like nuts, but it's biscuit, like soft biscuit. And it's like the best flavor combination in the world. And they now have like ice cream in a tub that you can buy of that.
I'm going to recommend a new podcast. It's called 20,000 Hertz. I found it this week. There are 4 episodes out. One of them is a 2-minute trailer. All the episodes are less than 15 minutes. And it's about popular sounds that you would recognize and the history of them. And it is so interesting and compelling.
That's pretty cool.
And I love it. The 3 episodes that have been out so far are The Voice of Siri, in which they had the person who voiced Siri on the show, which was just awesome. And then the NBC Chimes, which everyone probably is familiar with. And
don't know those. Sorry.
Oh, really?
We didn't have NBC.
So it's like... oh gosh, I don't want to sing on the show. It's like bum bum bum, you know, like NBC, okay, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Have you heard those?
No, I'm thinking it's probably similar to like the 20th Century Fox type thing, like just one of those little phrases of music that identifies a brand. I get what you mean. I just don't know the exact notes that you're talking
about. Okay. Well, that episode is only for American listeners, I guess. But that one was actually, I thought, the most interesting one. And then they also had one on 8-bit sounds, so it was like video game music and theme songs and things. And all 3 of them are just really great. They're all like 13 minutes long, so you can listen on your commute. 20,000 Hertz podcast. Link to the website and iTunes in the show notes.
And if you would like to contact us, you can connect with us in our Slack team. That's at slack.techreformation.com.
And you can visit our website, techreformation.com, to search for past shows and topics. Just check out the tags and hopefully find something that interests you.
Hey guys, if you like this show, do us a huge favor and recommend it to a friend who likes Christian-y/techie things. Either or both is great, because it really helps us. And like reviewing on iTunes and recommending on Overcast is really great too. But the thing that like really helps us out the most is if you'll just thoughtfully consider your group of friends or coworkers or colleagues or whatever and be like, hey, this person, you know, Tank, he really loves his technology and his Jesus. And that's what these guys talk about for an hour every week. So I bet he'll like Tech Reformation. So that's super easy. And if people don't listen to podcasts, you can just grab their phone for them, download your favorite podcast app, and subscribe them to Tech Reformation and tell them to check us out. That really helps us out a lot. So thanks for doing that this week.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. We go to the ends of the earth, then you know we go.
This episode is crazier than Derek's hair right now.
And Derek's hair is like looking like it's wanting to fly out the window next to him.
I don't have a window next to me.
Behind you, wherever that is.
Yeah.
Is that a doorway or a window?
This is what happens when I put gel in my hair the day before and then I wear construction hats, you know, today. It just gets all manner of crazy.
Well, it looks good.
Thank you.
The real question, Derek, is if you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself?
Probably
not. I can't take him seriously with that haircut. Can we make that like the episode artwork?
We'd never get any listeners.
Yeah, that needs to go on hotornot.com, I think.